Welcome to the AgriCast, episode 98.1. This is the podcast addendum where Matt, Corey, and I go off into a fun but frenzied conversation on franchise success and what is and isn't innovative in this industry. Alliteration aside, we really hope this sparks some discussion, whether it be on AgriGamer, Pwned, Twitter, or in your very homes. Please leave your comments in the show notes and we'll read them on the air next show. Thanks again, and enjoy.
Next.
God of War Ascension, any...
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What? What changed your mind?
Oh, nothing. Nothing has changed my mind. I hate God of War 3. Here's why. Because it is a story that's played out, number one. Number two, it is a prequel. And number three, multiplayer, really?
I'm curious to see what they do with the multiplayer. I don't actually want to play the multiplayer, but I'm curious to see how they're doing it. Just some of the things that they talked about, of like what I've heard so far about it, it could be interesting.
Yeah,
but
interesting to say the least. There is nothing they can do to that multiplayer. Customization is the only thing. That's it. That is it. That's all you can do to that game.
All
right.
Multiplayer otherwise looks like garbage. Everybody's Kratos.
No. That's not it at all.
Okay.
They don't have Kratos. They have some random people.
So here's the thing. So when they announced God of War Ascension for PlayStation 3, for all those people out there wondering what title God of War will be on because they don't play it, when they announced multiplayer, number one, it has to work. You're playing multiplayer on PS3. You're 4 to 6 guys running in a group, fighting a boss and fighting each other. Great. You have limited number of new moves. You have limited number of actions. You have limited number. You're limited to only doing so many things. There's no builds involved. There's no character creation involved. There's nothing spectacular about it. All it pretty much is Super Smash Brothers with whatever the side characters of PS3 version of Ascension is. That's it. So when they do the actual presentation at E3, they really have to show something amazing to make anybody want to play God of War. Because honestly, people are going to rent it on Redbox. They're going to beat the storyline. And they're going to take it back. That's it. The company's not going to make any money. They're not going to sell any titles. There's nothing involved. Or Gamefly, whatever you want to do. You're going to get this service. You're going to take it in. Gamefly, you get it for a month or a week before you have to pay it again. Take a game, play the game, send it back, call it a day. Multiplayer is not enticing for that style of game. Multiplayer is not enticing because it doesn't have a real mass of characters. There's not customization. There's nothing to single you out from anybody else.
That we've seen.
So, E3 comes. God of War, and this is why I'm interested, really needs to be like, by the way, I'm just going to whip this out and show you how awesome God of War is. That has to happen this year.
I mean, from what I've read so far, I am curious to see how it works with, you know, like, so it's two groups fighting each other, and the group that wins then gets a chance to fight, you know, like a boss or something like that. So I'm curious to see how they're going to make the multiplayer different from other things. And that may get people to actually play it if it's different enough. Like, eventually people really liked, like, the multiplayer in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, you know, because it was different from anything else that was out there as far as multiplayer was concerned. Yeah, it was a small group. Absolutely. It was a, you know, it was not a huge number of people playing the multiplayer, but it had its own, you know, like cult following because it was so different. And if the God of War people can actually get that to work, well, not the obviously the exact same system, but a very unique multiplayer, competitive multiplayer system, you know, I think they could have a core, you know, group of people that will play it.
Here's my problem is that, all right, I won't take this to WoW, so we're going to scratch that. So you have to have a core people. The problem is with God of War, is that niche big enough to make the third version of a prequel? Do you think it's big enough?
You mean to get three games out of it?
Yeah.
No,
no, it's not.
No, but I mean, I think they could, you know.
I think they'll make money off of it, but I don't think that they will double in size. I don't think they're going to be astounding. There's nothing that they're going to be blowing away people with the new God of War. It's a storyline. If you don't follow God of War, you really don't care.
Right. No, absolutely. But I think that the group, you know, we're talking about the entire group of people that will play God of War. I think that there could be a small enough, you know, there will be a small subset of those people that are going to play multiplayer and enjoy it.
There will be, but I don't think it's going to, I mean, I don't think that a lot of people, I don't think that that small subgroup is big enough to rely on the rest of the game. I really
so
don't.
I don't understand. Okay, so I mean, I'm guessing that it'll still be enough to be a success for the
developer
team.
No, because a developer team has to sell at least 4 million copies to be considered successful in the National Registry of Gaming. 4 million. Do you think God of War 3 is going to sell 4 million copies? Hell, Diablo 3 only sold 6.3.
Where do you get, where is this magic 4 million number coming from?
Yeah, no shit.
This is experience in the gaming community. This is experience within gaming companies. An actual game in Xbox, PlayStation 3, consoles, PC, whatever. If you do not hit 4 million, you are not considered a title. You are not considered a big title. There was a game, what was it? Family Game Night. Family Game Night was released for PlayStation 3, Xbox, Wii, and that's it. All strictly console. It was released. They sold 800,000 copies from a small company out of Utah. Okay? They were not considered a big sell at all. They were not considered a big game, specifically because they only sold 800. If you do not sell 4 million minimum, now this is over time, you were not considered a blockbuster. Do you think God that's the question. Do you think God of War is going to Ascension, previous version, whatever, is going to sell 4 million copies over time?
How many games have broken, how many games sold 4 million copies last year?
World of Warcraft, Diablo 3 did this year, Call of Duty has done it and has broken the record. Tons of games have sold 4 million copies. Over time.
Over 2,000 games have sold. Wait, I'm guessing that the number of games that have hit this $4 million magic mark is not as many as you think it is.
But I don't know why you say that, because it's over time. I mean, it's not like you have to do it in 24 hours.
Well, obviously.
But, I mean, any game that hits 4 million sales is pretty much a priority game. Overall, League of Legends, most of the MMOs out there have hit the 4 million mark easily. Most platformer games that are worth anything, Uncharted has done it, Silent Hill has done it, Resident Evil has done it, 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 5 has done it. These games have broken these marks easily. Yes,
and no God of War game has ever broken this mark?
They have broken the mark. My question is, do you think that the new God of War Ascension is going to break 4 million in a year? Just because they added multiplayer.
Oh, I don't think it's because they added multiplayer, no.
But do you think it'll break it?
Yeah.
Really? You think 4 million
the people... only thing the only thing to me that would hinder it is because it's a PlayStation exclusive.
Yep.
Here's my problem. Okay, Portal 2 reached it, Portal 1 reached it. Freaking Flight Control on the iPad reached this game. Well, reached the 4 million sales mark.
Shit, so, if God of War Ascension was 99 cents, fucking A, it would hit 4 million.
Yeah, dude, no shit.
People
like Flight Control.
Capcom is predicting that Resident Evil 6 will make 2-3 million in sales. Nobody cares about the game itself. That's what makes games survive, as we've all seen with 38 Studios, by the way. You have to reach a benchmark to be successful. $4 million is that benchmark.
Oh, okay.
And
Wait, $4 million or four?
I'm sorry, $4 million in sales. 4 million in sales. 4 million in sales is that?
Oh,
okay, that changes.
Oh
everything.
Shit! I thought you meant 4 million copies of the game. I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
I take that
back. I take that back.
4 million copies.
Okay, I take that back. 4 million in sales. In the gaming industry is considered a blockbuster game. Do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think it'll make it.
You think God of War will make that? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to see the numbers. I may have to eat my hat on that one, but I just don't think that God of War has that pull to bring in those numbers.
Well, let me do the math right now.
And I
don't You're doing think, math right now?
Yeah.
I don't think that multiplayer functionality is going to add anything to those sales. I don't think that 60% of people that have already bought the game are going to play multiplayer because there's nothing there.
Okay, ready? In order for God of War Ascension to break the $4 million mark, all they need to sell is 666,000 copies.
That's all
they can do.
667,000 copies. There we go.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
I mean, that's just done.
All right,
but I guess my point is it isn't the multiplayer that's going to sell it. All they're trying to do, and to me, this is all they're trying to get is. There are going to be X number of people who are going to buy this game. Let's just say they'll barely graze the 4 million in sales. So we'll say 700,000 copies are sold. All right. That beats your $4 million mark.
Okay.
They're just trying to make that a percentage of those people, you know, we'll say 20%. All right. So that's 144,000 or 140,000 or so people. To like the multiplayer long enough to not sell the game back.
Right.
That's the whole goal. I don't think the multiplayer is being put in there to sell copies.
No, not at all.
It's being put in there to not have the game be sold as to be sold back to GameStop.
I don't think that it's not going to get sold back. I don't think that the multiplayer is going to make people hang on to play this freaking game.
I think there's going to be a small percentage of people that are going
to
do that.
But I don't think that it's going to be big enough to make this game successful.
All they have to do is sell, 667,000 copies.
Dude, Final Fantasy breaks billions. Breaks billions.
Wait a minute.
Wait. So wait, now the game doesn't need $4 million in sales to be a success. Now it has to have billions.
No, I'm saying that you have a game that needs to break a 4 million mark to be a blockbuster. So for a game to actually anybody give any recognition to has to be 4 million. Publishers do not look at a game that does not sell 4 million copies because who cares? Really? Who cares? Oh, you sold a million copies. Yay, you're like an Atari game. Honestly, you're like, well, what was that game that sold a million copies? Madden NFL 2006, okay, back in 2005 only sold 1.41 million copies. That's okay. It. Okay? You have Elder Scrolls. Go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead, Matt.
You're going from 4 million U.S. dollars to 4 million.
No.
You're fucking me all up.
4 million. It's new math. It's that amazing math. 4 million in sales. Okay? Well, base everything off of sales. Madden NFL 2006 back in 2005 only did $1.41 million in sales.
Okay. I thought you said copies. So I was all
I did say copies, so I take that back. I'm saying copies. I don't mean that. it needs to be in sales. Okay. Xbox 360, since its launch, games, freaking Kinect Adventures did 18 million. Okay. That was in 2010. So the bar right now is 4 million copies sold to be considered a blockbuster title, which a lot of people are like, oh yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Go ahead and look up how many games have broken the $4 million mark. Go ahead.
Wait. When I brought 4 million copy mark, you told me tons have done it.
Yeah.
Tons have done it. Xbox 360 has done Halo 3.
Gears of War. Moving on.
I'm sorry, Corey. I have to agree with Matt.
Call of Duty 4 did it. Grand Theft Auto 4 did it. Halo Reach did it. Gears of War 2 did it. Modern Warfare did it.
Broke 4.37 million in sales.
So they did not make...
They made their $4 million.
They
you
did
said 3. $4
7.
Million.
You said 3.7. That is not 4 million.
4.37.
Sorry, I thought you said 3.7. So God of War 3 did $4.7 million. So you really think that a prequel, a fourth version of this game, is going to make them more amazing?
I think it probably will not break 4.37 million.
I think it will fall. Right. My vote is
I got to say is Halo Reach.
Halo Reach, thank you. Halo Reach did it. That's my thing. I do not think, and we're going to say it right, I will say it right here on this podcast, I do not think that the latest version of God of War anybody is going to care about. I really don't think. I do not think it will break $4 million in copies sold. I don't think it will. 3.8, 3.7, 3.6, whatever. It will not break 4 million.
Moving on.
Well, only time will tell.
We will find out. I'm waiting. I will eat my hat. My Guinness hat. I will eat it with stew.
All right.
And a Guinness.
All right, Corey. All right. What other games do you have on your plate?
What else do I have? I have all sorts of cool stuff. So, how come we didn't talk about Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance?
Because of that fucking shitty ass fucking name.
Really, the name? That's why we're not talking about it?
No, I just haven't got... It's not on my list right now.
How is...
Because I'm not a Metal Gear Solid person. I've never played a Metal Gear... I've only played one Metal Gear game, and that was the original. And I beat it. That was it.
I played Metal Gear Solid 2, thought it sucked, and that's been my opinion ever since. I don't care about Metal Gear Solid.
I don't even know you guys anymore. I mean,
you all right, moving really, on.
Dude, nobody wants to play Raiden. Nobody wants to see what the next installment of Hideo Kojima, the most popular publisher of all games, has created, his new project. Dude, the guy has done everything in his power possible to make Metal Gear Rising exist. He actually has gone to different developers specifically to save this project so it happens. How? Really?
That name.
I never even played MGS4. I don't.
What?
I got nothing
even,
for
you. I can't even argue with you guys. I'm just, okay, well. Yeah, let me tell, okay, I will tell you right now. You're all missing out. You are all missing out on a great franchise.
Okay. Whatever you say, man. Whatever I have to say.
You know. Okay, I'm excited with the last preview that we got last year from Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance. It's multi-platform. I was super stoked with Raiden doing some badass stuff. I'm really excited for this game. I hope that it's not an action-adventure game. I hope that it's not all action at all. I really hope that it kind of stays to the legacy that the Metal Gear series has always been known for, with sneak attacks and super awesome and reaching around corners and riding a box and having the box over your head and running around and assassinating people. I hope that it sticks to that. I want exclamation points over people's heads. I want it to be a great game. And it is on my radar for E3 because it will be amazing.
That name, man.
Oh.
Every time I see that word, friggin' part of me dies and my eyes start to burn.
It's cool. You can go play Darksiders 19 or whatever that game is.
Second one hasn't even came out. Nice try, buddy. Yeah.
So, two. Darksiders 2. All right, cool. That's cool. Come on. It's the Metal Gear series. There's been games since the 80s that everybody's known about Metal Gear. This is a series.
Yeah, I beat the first one, and then I just stopped caring about it.
The very first one?
Yeah.
On the NES.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it is a game that I am keeping on my radar. I am looking forward to Metal Gear Rising. If it's anything like the cinematic that we got last year, it will be awesome. So.
All right. What else do you have on your docket,
Corey? Metro, Last Light.
No interest in that old guy.
Dude. Why not?
Mainly because I've seen the trailer and just kind of went, meh. I shrugged my shoulders. At least I shrugged my shoulders.
It's
right?
A THQ game.
And? What does that mean?
High quality stuff, man.
So, Metro 2033 came out back in March on Xbox 360 and Windows. And I'm sorry, I take that back. That was in 2006. And, I mean, 4A Games has announced that they're doing a new one, and it's not futuristic. It's the past. That is amazing. It's a first-person shooter. It is... I mean, post-apocalyptic. Well, it's post-apocalyptic Russia in Metro 2033. It's like what was the game we were just talking about? Not Splinter Cell. It's like Doom. It's that game that has that nostalgia to it. That I mean, Metro 23 was huge. I love that game. This game, I'm kind of lukewarm on because it's more modern. But it's underground. You know. Warfare, World War III type style. It's multi-platform. It looks like a really good FPS game. It's something new. It's something different. It's something that's not Call of Duty or Battlefield. I'm excited for this game.
At this point, all the FPSs are starting to look the same.
Well, they have to. You have to have a kind of algorithm to accommodate to the players these days. If you don't accommodate to that algorithm, you have to reteach an entire player base, and that's not going to happen.
I think now we're starting to get to the part that I think is important. I think we're just getting to this point where we need some, you know, I mean, for crying out loud, you thought Diablo 3 is genre bending. I mean, we need some new development in games. Like, we need to stop having threes, twos, and whatevers behind.
Yes, just yes.
Behind the names. We need something new.
Dishonored?
I'm
Overstrike.
Dishonored.
If it looks good, then yeah, I mean. I'll definitely be looking forward to it.
You are an assassin with a supernatural repertoire. You like that? Big words right there, repertoire. All right. You can possess other living creatures. I mean, you're in 17th century London with a whole steampunk background. Okay? There is multiple ways to approach these missions. But, I mean, you're not limited to just going into the mission and doing it this one way, or it's not going to happen at all.
I think it'll be great. Dude,
you can play the whole game. You can play the whole game without killing a single person.
Nice.
How is that not amazing?
Because I haven't played it yet.
It's not out yet. But that
well,
is,
of course it's
but
not
these are the
yet,
things
but...
that are making games game-breaking, groundbreaking. You're playing a game where you're not going to kill everybody. That there are ways to get around that. That there are ways that you're going to save a game and go back to the previous save just specifically so you can beat it one specific way. How is that not brilliant?
I'm not saying it's not brilliant. I'm saying that
it's not
I'm getting
now.
Tired of Halo 4, God of War Ascension, Far Cry 3, Black Ops 2, getting tired of fucking sequels to everything.
Yeah.
And I hope Dishonored is awesome, and I hope it knocks it out of the park. I can't wait. I hope that Quantic Dream comes out during the Sony press conference and shows us whatever their next thing is.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't tell me that you're not getting a little fatigued with the amount of bullshit sequels that are just piling up.
I am so fatigued, dude. You have no idea. I want to take a chainsaw and a baseball bat to half the developers that are working on games right now.
Here's my thing. Right now, developers and publishers are banking on what works, because to develop an entire new game system and a new game hierarchy, you have to start from scratch, and that takes time.
And we got plenty of it.
And we have plenty of it. I am patiently waiting for those games to come, but they're not coming this year. They're not coming next year. We're not even getting a next-gen console, I guarantee, until 2015. We have another two, 3 years till we see something. So until that next step happens, you pretty much have to deal with sequels.
And I'm not saying I'm not excited about some of the sequels. I am. You can rewind this podcast and listen to me talk about Assassin's Creed 3, Resident Evil 6. Well, Persona 4, what's coming out in the Vita later in the year is...
a sequel.
You know, it's a game, but it has some bonus
like
Buffy
the Vampire
Slayer.
It's cool.
if they announce a Persona 5, yeah, that would be awesome, but I don't think that's going to happen. But that doesn't mean I'm not getting tired of it.
We are getting tired, but that's because we've been playing games for the past 20 years. Okay, we've been playing games since their inception. We've been playing video games. We're a different breed than the new gamer.
Right, but then you can't expect me to get fucking excited about Metro bullshit same FPS that they've been cranking out for, you know, the last 5 years.
But you have so many indie developers right now that are developing so many different games, Torchlight, that are breaking the mold and making Torchlight took the concept of Diablo and made it
stop right
casual.
There. Took the concept of Diablo. End of discussion.
They took the concept of Diablo. The concept, not the gameplay. That's the difference. Okay? You have something unique. You have something you can play that's completely different. Hell, everybody...
unique? Dude, Torchlight is a Diablo clone.
To a point. Not Torchlight 2. No, it's not. Not at all.
To talk to your point, Matt, I will say this. It's more like they took the essence and distilled it down to a...
basic game.
To a, you know... made it a little more palpable for a wider audience.
I have played the Torchlight 2 beta, and I have played Diablo 3 exclusively. Just constantly. And between the two... there are no longer similarities. It is not the same game at all.
I agree with that.
You have Minecraft, which was built by an indie developer. You have League of Legends. You have a new Dota game coming out. Defense of the Ancients, for those that haven't played Dota 2. I mean, there are these titles built by indie developers that are breaking the mold. Whether they're selling 4 million copies or doing whatever they are and being groundbreaking, no. But as for an indie developer, these are games people have never seen before. I play games on my iPad that I have never experienced on Steam or Xbox Live or anything like that they are actually copying because they're successful. That is where we're at right now. It's no longer... EA's not... go ahead.
The games you mentioned, I don't think they were good examples for games that are breaking the mold.
Torchlight 2.
That's kind of what I meant to say, you know, with like Torchlight.
What else?
Dota, because isn't Dota just the
previous game that was built back in 2000 whatever?
Yeah.
Which was built by an indie developer, a kid that built that game with the Warcraft 3 building engine that has nothing to do with World of Warcraft now.
But wasn't it just a standard RTS?
No. It was actually the it was actually the game that improvised. I'm sorry. It was the game that implemented MOBAs into the world.
Okay.
MOBAs never existed until Dota was built. When Dota came out, everybody said, "Oh my god, this can be a game franchise," and that was built.
Okay, I got it now.
Fair enough. So, Dota is a starter. Yes, there's a Dota 2 coming out, which will, again, break the mold because this will set the standard for MOBAs. This will not be League of Legends. This will not be Petroglyphs, Rise of the Immortals or whatever. This will not be... This will be the game that everybody measures games up to, and it's being built by Valve. These are... you have... what is the game that just that came out a while ago? The Black and White game. Holy crap, it's on sale on Steam right now. It is...
I don't know, I just Limbo. Bought the... Limbo. I just bought the Space Quest collection.
You have Limbo. You have Limbo that just came out. That game is...
That's a good example.
Okay, you have these titles that are being built by indie developers. The problem is that you have everybody buying what's popular. EA built a game. Oh, well, I'm going to go buy that. Activision built a game. Oh, I'm going to buy that. World of Warcraft, when it came out, was small. Everybody and their mother, it is the largest MMO to date. Along with, you want to put it alongside something? Put it alongside Eve. Eve is a complete different atmosphere than MMO, than versus World of Warcraft, and both are successful, both are great. But the problem is that you have numerous kids and adults playing what's popular, not what is actually a good game, or not what is groundbreaking.
Thus is life.
Thus is life.
Welcome to the real world.
So, I mean, you have these games that are trying to break in, that are trying to break the mold. I mean, Diablo 3, I hate to say, is a perfect example. You have a game that is getting rid of the skill tree, that is getting rid of gameplay and just making it a click adventure. When was the last time we had that game? Oh, that's right. Diablo 2. So, it's been 15 years, and they're trying to bring that back into the marketplace. Compare apples and oranges. How do you say Diablo 3 is this unique game that's standing on its own 2 feet, that Torchlight doesn't mimic at all anymore, versus, everybody's doing Diablo 3 anymore?
Well, the way you said it was breaking the mold. When I think of breaking the mold, I think of hybrid games. Games that are doing something completely different, not taking cues from anything. And when you said Torchlight, I'm like, what?
Okay, so I say, and Brian gives me crap all the time, Diablo 3 is breaking the mold because what they did is they took away a skill set. They took away a skill tree. They took away, you beat the game, you want to beat on the next level because you want more loot. You want to hit the level cap. You're going to hit the next level because you want more loot. You're going to hit Nightmare. You're going to hit Hell, you're going to hit Inferno all the way just to get to 60. You hit 60, and then you're grinding for magic items. You're looking for gear. Why? Because PvP is coming soon. And when and Torchlight does not have PvP. Most RTSs do not have PvP. RTSs. I take RTS back. What did we consider Diablo? A top-down, third-person... Yeah.
Isometric.
So, I mean, you have these games that do not have PvP. You have League of Legends, which is strictly PvP and not meant for single-player base. You have Diablo 3 that has broken that mold and brought the casual gamer into the hardcore world. You have... And I...
How many casual gamers do you think are playing?
Yeah, no shit.
I'm sorry, 6.3 million casual gamers are playing Diablo 3.
Yeah, no.
6.3 within the first weekend. You're going to tell me that there are 6.3 hardcore gamers out there?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
You're saying that.
Because there's only 17 million in all of World of Warcraft, and that's casual and hardcore.
And most of those people stop playing World of Warcraft to play Diablo 3.
Yeah. But that's my point, is that they're playing something different. They're playing something unique. They're playing something new. Can you point out a game out here right now that's new, that's not done by an indie developer? Name one game.
Wait.
That's not done by an indie developer. Name one game.
One
that has 6 million people. What is your question?
My question is show me a game that is not done by an indie developer. We're talking major developers. We're talking EA. We're talking Activision. We're talking 38 Studios. God rest in peace. We're talking, you know, these large conglomerates.
On with the question.
Who is building a unique game besides indie developers? Nobody. Nobody is building a unique game. Not a single person. They're copying each other because that's what sells. Facebook.
But you're sounding critical right now because of Torchlight. It's doing something different.
Torchlight, which was built by Runic Games, is building a game that is unique. Therefore, they qualify under the indie developer that is building a game that is unique. It is not Diablo 3. You can't say that it is. If you've ever played the beta of Torchlight 2, it is not Diablo 3. It is a completely game on right, it. It's a completely different
stop
game on
saying,
it.
Stop saying Diablo 3. I'm talking about Torchlight being a carbon copy of Diablo 1.
Sure.
Diablo 2.
Well, I mean, I would definitely say there is no doubt in my mind that that was influenced mainly because the people who worked on Diablo 1 and Diablo 2 made the game.
Yeah,
I was going to say, the people that built Diablo built Torchlight 1.
But saying it's groundbreaking and doing something new is a load of shit. Because it's doing the exact same thing that fucking Diablo did. You dungeon crawl. You level grind and you get cool shit.
You built new characters. That was 15 years ago. When you have Diablo that was breaking sales of, I think, Diablo broke the greatest, Diablo 2, I believe, the greatest sales record. And they sold, hold on a second, it was, I'm pulling it up. I have to have an accurate count because if I don't, I'm kind of an asshole. So,
well, I think we're way past that.
We're past asshole. But I'm just saying, you have indie developers that are building games that are breaking the mold. You have, and as we brought it up, you have Limbo, you have Dungeons, you have Ticket to Ride, which actually for all of us that are playing board games, which is amazing because that's very exciting, is indie games.
I got a good example.
Team Fortress 2? Bastion. Bastion is a perfect example.
Yes.
Brought out? Dude, that is a genius example. These are titles that are not mimicking anything else. They're not a second, a third, a fourth. But the problem is that they become popular. And when they become popular, to make sales, you make a second. You make a third. You make a sixth. You make the version X. Whatever. Resident Evil, Operation Raccoon City. I don't care. That's what happens. And that's how the industry works. But you have these indie developers that are basically making games that people are basing their games off of to be more popular. So they are literally breaking the mold. Diablo 3, and I keep bringing up Diablo 3 because Diablo 3 is basically taking the entire skill tree and tossing it out the window. I guarantee the next 2 years, every RPG that you play that's top down will not have a skill tree. I promise you.
And the problem with taking out skill trees is that now you have cookie cutter builds.
You do. But I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that Diablo 3 as a groundbreaking build basically said, well, get rid of skill tree. This is how we will do skills. This is how we will give people customization. And that's how we'll move forward. And I promise the next 2 years, every top-down RPG is going to implement that build, that skill tree. That skill set. That quote-unquote customization. Why? Because it worked and it made 6.3 million sales. That's why.
I don't think the skill tree had anything to do with the scale. The had anything to do with the sales.
Yeah, but no, I do. The name.
I do. Name. I do. Because
yeah,
it's
I agree
unique.
With that. It's all about the name.
Yep.
No, it's something unique. It's just something you're going to really tell me that the 30 and 40 year old people were like, "Oh, I'm going to buy Diablo 3 on opening day." Bought it.
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah.
I disagree wholeheartedly. I do not believe that the people that actually have a job and actually have a family and actually no longer have free time bought Diablo 3 because it was Diablo.
Everybody can argue about that in the show notes. I'm going to go ahead and just stop us right here because we are way, way over time, and this is a completely different...
This is a great discussion! I want people to comment. I want reactions. I want...
Yeah, because we all know Corey's been totally wrong for the last hour.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. It's fine. It's cool. You know what? I look forward to this podcast posting, and I hope that everybody posts in the show notes. And if I'm wrong, by all means, comment.
Yes, and I guarantee you we'll continue this discussion some other time. I smell it.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Torchlight 2 is going to come out. We're going to talk about it. I promise you.
Yes, and so you'll be able to catch Corey and Twitter and all the places as Mythic Griffin. Catch Matt on Twitter as Shredding Ruin Ruen. And of course, you can always talk to me on the Twitters and every other place as Quiglin. All right, that's it for our pre E3 podcast. Stay tuned to aggregamer.com for more E3 news, as well as more podcasts, whereas we slowly build up to the magical number 100. All right, guys. I'm glad we had this little chat. You have any final thoughts? Keep it in 30 seconds. Matt.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
All right. Corey?
Somebody go out there and build a better game.
There you go. And you heard it here first. All right, so... From all of us here at AgGamer, we are out. Peace.
Oh my God, I want to lose my mind.